Hi, Heather. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Well, this is exciting.
Great. Well, I'm glad you're excited. Don't be too nervous. It's going to be fun. I'm always fun anyway, or I try to be. So listen, for the readers and listeners out there, if you would, Heather, tell us a little bit about you and how you got started writing.
Well, I didn't start writing until I retired from a career of rolfing. And then a psychic told me I'd write. And so I thought, well, what will I write? And I thought, I'm going to write love stories. So my first book is called Leaves in Her Hair, and it's a story of a young woman who fell in love with a tree spirit. It's a fantasy. And the second book, Never Again, is the one I was going to talk about today, came about because I like to hike in the high country. I've lived in Colorado 43 years. And one time when I was coming down from a high pass, I looked down into the valley and saw this beautiful valley way off the trail with a stream running through. So I scrambled off the trail and down the side of the mountain to this valley and found a magical place where the stream bent in a curve and there was a deep pool and there was a lawn of velvety, soft tundra grass and tiny wildflowers, all shielded by a big boulder covered with lichen. So I loved that place. I called it my special place. And I went every year to visit it. And one year, when I was on the trail going that way, my knees ached and my heart was unsteady and I got out of breath on the steep places. And I was bummed because I went, I'm getting old. Maybe I won't be able to go there next year. So I walked along and I started fantasizing, what if? What if is always a good question for starting a novel. And I said, well, what if I get up to my special place and there's magical extraterrestrials there that transform me, heal everything in my body so I can hike as high and far as I want. So I walked along thinking, wouldn't that be fabulous? And then I walked a little further and I went, would it?
Heather, I'm going to go ahead and pipe down. I'm going to open the floor up for you. And whenever you're ready, you can set up and jump right into your reading, okay?
Okay, well, I'm going to do a mixture because I want to read a variety of passages from the novel. So I'm going to sort of mix it up with telling you the story in between the passages. So Clara was on her way to her special place on her 80th birthday. And her knees ached. And her heart was unsteady. And she got out of breath on the steep places, and a couple of times she stumbled. Once she fell, but she made it. She got there, and she dipped in the stream, and she did a little bit of yoga on the tundra beside the stream. She was 80, so she couldn't do a lot, but she could do a little. And then she lay down to rest, and while she was sleeping, a thunderstorm came over the mountains very suddenly, the way it can in the high country, and she was struck by lightning. And she woke many hours later in the middle of the night, found that she was paralyzed, that she was soaked to the bone and deeply chilled, and knew she was dying. But she didn't die because some angelic, immortal beings from the faraway planet of Illyria came and rescued her. They took her up in their spaceship, and because they were immortal and didn't understand human life cycles, they healed her not only of the effects of lightning, but of all the ravages of aging. So when she returned to Earth, she found she had the perfectly healthy, flawlessly beautiful body of a very young woman. Well, at first she was kind of shocked. She went, oh, I'm glad I'm alive, but I don't think I wanted to be young again. But then she got in the water. She dipped in the stream, and she felt so alive and vital. And she came out and started doing yoga, and she could do things she'd never been able to do before. And then she found she could jump, and she could run, and she could leap, and she got really happy. Then she picked up her pack and decided she'd start toward home. As she was walking across the meadow to the trail, she got a little anxious again, and she thought, well, what's my life going to be like? And will my friends and family know me? And how will I relate? and she soon had her first encounter. I'm now going to read from page 34 of my book. I was sitting at the edge of the trail, snugging up my bootlaces, when two young men with big backpacks strode up toward me. They glanced curiously at me and slowed their pace. I looked up at them from under the brim of my blue hat. "Good morning," I said. They stopped and looked down at me. "Morning," the one with the green hat answered. A slow smile spread across his face. The other one, with a red hat, was smiling too. He had bright brown eyes and was very attractive. I tilted my head back, looked into his eyes, and returned his smile. An electric zing danced between us. Shocked, I bent my head. He stepped closer. "Which way are you going?" he asked. "Down," I answered. "That's too bad," he said. "I was thinking it might be nice to walk with you away." I jumped to my feet, grabbed my staff. "Have a good hike," I said, and fled down the trail. "None of that," I admonished my wanton eyes as I dashed headlong downward. "Absolutely none of that. I may have a young body, but I'm not young. I know where that kind of thing leads." Coming back to telling the story now, Clara went farther down the trail and met her sons, who had been looking for her. They didn't recognize her. And when she insisted she was their mother, they looked again and realized that she looked like the mother they'd had when they were young children. Her oldest son at that time was 56. When she got home, she realized she needed to get a new driver's license because her face no longer matched the face on her old one. But how do you get a driver's license in the year 2011 when you have a 20-year-old face and your birth date's 1931? She decided to tell the story of her transformation only to her three children and her closest friend because she was afraid that if word got out, the military might search for the Illyrians and harm them. So she told everybody that she'd had a makeover. Well, they didn't believe her very well. How could any makeover make someone look that good? She didn't have the stretched facelift look. How did they get rid of the wrinkles in her cleavage and the freckles on her skin from sun damage? So they whispered behind her back and looked at her when they didn't think she noticed. And some of them thought she was her granddaughter. But why would a young woman pretend to be an old woman? Finally, it all just settled down because what could they do? There she was. And Clara became very involved in her life again. Because she had all the energy, she took new clients. She was a massage therapist. She went dancing a lot and took dancing lessons, doing things that she couldn't do before because her knees were so grumpy. So I'm reading you again now from page 66. I loved it all, but there was a discordant restlessness. Finally, I decided I was doing too much. I turned away clients and limited my practice to 3 days a week. Still, I was busy. There was the garden to put to bed, leaves to rake, and always the many chores necessary to keep my house and business going. As often as I could get away, I ran to the foothills, climbed the ridges until I was breathless, and sat looking out over the plains. All kinds of shoulds arose. "Now you have all this energy, this new life," an inner voice admonished me. "You should be serving more. You shouldn't turn away clients. You should get involved again in the political chaos sweeping the country. What right have you to rest and read and dream as you used to, now that you are strong?" Under the shoulds flowed a deep tide of yearning for the quietness and depth of my former life. An ebb tide running in conflict to the strong flood tide that swept me. Soon her life became even more complicated. One evening when she went dancing tango, she met a handsome young man named Zachary. And he also turned out to be the best tango dancer she had ever danced with. He danced with her most of the night. They talked some and found out they had another connection besides tango. He, too, had been rescued by the Illyrians when he almost killed himself skiing into a tree. They talked a little about the Illyrians, but Clara didn't tell him her age. The next time she went dancing, he was there, and he danced with her all evening, and they fell in love. And he asked her out to dinner. This was very confusing for 80-year-old Clara. She was an old woman, done with all that. But she had a young body, replete with hormones. Finally, she decided, this can't go on any longer. I have to tell him the truth about my age, and resolved to do that when they had dinner together. And this is her account of their dinner. Page 84 to 86. Two evenings later, we met in the elegant dining room of the St. Julian Hotel. I asked the host for a corner table, requesting the quietest possible place so the background noise of the restaurant wouldn't overwhelm my fading hearing. Only after we were seated did I realize I didn't need to do that anymore. Zachary looked especially handsome in a blue silk shirt that enhanced his vivid blue eyes. He ordered wine, and we studied our menus. I held mine out at arm's length. "What are you doing?" he asked. Embarrassed, I put it back on the table. I could see it perfectly. Zachary lifted his wine glass. "To us, Tango Partners Supreme." His face grew serious, and much more, I hope. We touched glasses with a light musical clink and looked at each took a sip, looking into each other's eyes. I was shaking inside. "Now," I told myself, "now. Don't let this go on any longer." "Zachary, there's something I need to tell you." He took another sip of wine and put down his glass. His cell phone rang. He had it handy, clipped onto his belt. "Excuse me a minute." "Hey there, Meg." "Yeah. Cool. I'm fine." A long pause. "Sure. Send it to me. I'd love to see it." The conversation went on and on. I turned my attention to my menu, but couldn't focus, nervous and increasingly irritated. "Okay," Zachary said. "Hey, listen, I'm out to dinner with this gorgeous woman." "Yeah, I will. Good to talk to you. Night, honey." He clicked off his phone and slipped it back onto his belt. "My sister. She's sending me a picture of her kid. She's got the cutest little boy. You started to tell me something?" "Yes." I swallowed. I'm not quite as I seem." His phone beeped. He pulled it out again. "Wait a minute." He opened it. "Great, here's the picture. Look at that. What a sweetie." He held his phone out to me across the table. "He's cute," I said politely. "Looks sort of like you." "My nephew. Chris is his name." He turned the screen back to look at it again, sighed, closed the phone, and put it away. "I want to have kids someday. How about you?" It was an opening. I don't know quite how to tell you this, but I'm not as I seem." "Don't tell me." I had his attention now. "You're lesbian." "No, I have to tell you that." "You're married?" "No. What you need to know is the Illyrians found me on my 80th birthday." "What? 18th? "No, 80th. I'm really an old woman, Zachary. The Illyrians gave me a young body when they saved my life, but I'm really 80 years old." "No way." He laughed. "Clara, you're teasing me. What an idea. Don't look so serious." I was sweating. My stomach clenched. "I'm not teasing. I'm an old woman. I already have 3 kids. The oldest 2 are 55 and 56. I have 5 grandchildren, and the oldest of them is already 20. "Clara, what are you talking about?" His brow was furrowed. "I'm telling you who I am. I thought you should know before we get any more involved." I could feel tears coming to my eyes. He stared at me. I don't believe it. Please, it's true. I'm old enough to be your grandma. Zachary finally did believe her, after she showed him several albums of pictures of her from the time she was a little girl. At first he was upset, but then he decided that he loved her anyway. She had a young body. He wanted to marry her. He wanted to have children with her. Clara wasn't so sure about that. Do all that again, she thought. Diapers, play dates, homework, teenagers. And then she found out that dating in the 21st century was quite different than dating in the 1950s. So things did not go so smoothly with Zachary. I want to read you one more passage. Clara is talking to her daughter, Lisa. How is it, Mother? She asked me. What's it really like to be young again? It's confusing, I confessed. I thought I'd get used to it, but I haven't yet. I love having my body strong again, being able to dance and hike, do everything I want and not hurt. But it feels as if there's a responsibility that comes with it. When I was old, I could just be lazy, take everything slow. People didn't expect much of me. But I felt as if I were doing something important. Not in an outward way, inside. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe preparing for death, for the next cycle, whatever it will be. And now I don't have time for that. I'm caught up in the life of a young woman, but I'm not a young woman. I'm 80. She listened, and more poured out. I don't know how long I will live now. I felt for years I didn't fit in this world anymore. It's gotten so impersonal and cyber-oriented. I was glad I'd be leaving it soon. And now, I might outlive you children. That's a terrible thought. Lisa took my hand. If you could, would you go back to how you were? I started. A shiver ran through me. That was a question I hadn't asked myself. I was shocked at the relief I felt just hearing it, but I couldn't answer it. I bent my face into my hands and began to cry. Lisa sat quietly beside me. I understand, she said. You're incongruent. You have the spirit of an old woman and the body of a young one. That must be hard. Soon after her conversation with her daughter, Clara, in her confusion, called the Illyrians. They communicated telepathically with her, so they heard her. They weren't far away, and they came to her, took her up in their spaceship, wrapped her in their many loving arms. She asked them, "Could you change me back?" And they told her they could, but only as long as they were circling the planet. A year from the night they had met her, they would be returning to Illyria. So the rest of the story of Never Again revolves around Clara's choice. And whenever I talk about this book to people, I ask them, if you were Clara, what would you choose?